Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you, our listeners, hear, believe, and live in the good news of Jesus Christ. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we'd like to hear from you on today's Basic Gospel program. So if you have a Bible question or if you're dealing with some issue that's kind of troubling to you, your family, maybe at home, at school, at the office, wherever it happens to be, well, we would love to talk it through with you right here at Basic Gospel. So give us a call at 844-322-2742. And just a note, no matter when you're hearing this program, you can call that same number, 844-322-2742, because it is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Happy Monday to you, and glad to be with all of our listeners as we start a brand new week here at Basic Gospel. We do have plenty of open lines right now. Would love to hear from you. Go ahead and pick up that phone dial. It's toll-free, 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742. Bob, we're talking about resurrection and have been all month. And today I want to take a look at kind of an outward thing where we've talked about the fact of the resurrection. We've explored some of the historical evidence for the resurrection. We've looked at the impact the resurrection has on you and me. And that's where we see the biggest piece of evidence, how that good news has transformed literally millions of people. Throughout the past 2,000 years, there has been a life change because of the reality of the resurrection. Yeah. So that's how it's impacted us. We continue to live in the power of that resurrection. And now let's take a look outward. And we recognize that this message concerning the resurrection is truly our message. It is our message to tell to the world. It's what we proclaim as believers in Christ, that Jesus Christ was crucified, dead, and buried, and then on the third day, he was raised back to life. Now, when Jesus started to tell the disciples that that is what was going to happen to him, they didn't quite understand. They didn't understand the fact that he was going to be raised on the third day. They were a little miffed by the fact that he said that he was going to be handed over and he was going to die. Their Messiah wasn't supposed to die. Their Messiah was to come into this world and to elevate Israel as the preeminent nation here on planet Earth so that the blessing of Abraham could go forth through them to other nations. That's what they were expecting Jesus to come and do, to defeat the Romans, to bring that victory to Israel, to lift them up and let the blessings of Abraham go forth. But that's not how God had designed it. Before the very foundation of the world, God had this plan concerning Jesus. He was the Lamb of God, foreknown before the foundation of this world. He was the grace of God that was delivered to us before the foundations of the world. All of this was a part of God's plan. So people didn't understand it. The disciples didn't understand it until after Jesus had died, was buried, was raised, and then ascended into heaven. Now, on the day of Pentecost, when God poured out the Holy Spirit on mankind, Peter stood up and gave the first Christian sermon. And what was it about? It was about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What was the message that he delivered to the thousands of Jewish people that had gathered in Jerusalem that day for that particular feast? It was the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So what is our message today? It's exactly the same. It is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We preach and teach and talk and share that he died, that he was buried, that on the third day he was raised back to life. That makes this message a victorious message, a message filled with hope and promise and a future that all of us long for. So when Peter stood up, he said this Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men, God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death because it was not possible for him to be held by it. And then he brings in a prophecy from the Old Testament about David and how he wouldn't see decay. He wouldn't, that God wouldn't abandon his soul to Hades. Well, that was a reference to Jesus. And what was it a reference to? It was a reference to his resurrection, the fact that Jesus was going to be raised from the dead. And then he continues through this sermon in verse 33 of Acts chapter 2. He says this, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of Christ. This is David speaking of the resurrection of Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses, being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. So Jesus had to die. Jesus had to be buried. Jesus had to be raised from the dead so that he could ascend back to the right hand of God the Father. And in that ascension, he was given the gift of the Spirit, and he poured that out. And the message that brings all of that about is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So Peter started the ball rolling. He started the message concerning the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The other disciples, the other apostles, carried that message forward. It got to the Apostle Paul. He preached about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The early church fathers after Paul, guess what they preached about? The resurrection of Jesus Christ. And you take this 2,000 years up until the present moment, and what is the message today? The resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is the power of salvation for anyone who believes, whether Jew or Gentile. So if you're going to preach, if you're going to minister, if you're going to share the good news of Jesus Christ, resurrection has to be the heart and soul of that message. If it's not there, if you're preaching anything else, and there's a lot of things that you can talk about that are on the fringes, but if you're just talking about the fringes and missing the heart and soul, you're not sharing the power of the gospel. The message is this: on the third day, Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. That is the good news. That is the power unto salvation. That is the hope that we all look for and long for as human beings.
Absolutely. You know, as a Galilean fisherman, Peter brought a pretty good message, didn't he?
He did. He brought the best ever. 3,000 were added to the church that day. There's something about hearing that story concerning the resurrection of Jesus that penetrates to the very depths of who you are. As it talks about there, their hearts were pricked. They wanted to know, what must we do to be saved? And they believed and received. They were born again, added to the body of Christ, and they started proclaiming, guess what? That Jesus Christ was alive, that he had indeed been raised from the dead.
What a victorious message that is. Bob, thanks for bringing that. As we get this edition of Basic Gospel underway, thank you, friends, for being with us. We'd love to hear from you at 844-322-2742. That, of course, is good in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. We'd like to speak directly with you on this edition. You know, friends, if you've ever had doubts about the truth of the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ, well, we invite you to explore the evidence that will solidify your belief and deepen your resolve to share this truth, which is, of course, his story. Share it with the world. Proof, the Resurrection, is the name of the CD by Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, and it will provide the truth for you. We want to send you a copy as our way of saying thank you for your gift of support for Basic Gospel in April. Remember, the end of the month is this Friday, so please remember to make your gift at the earliest possible moment. Click donate when you visit basicgospel.net, and when you do, be sure to request your copy of Proof, the Resurrection. Again, donate at basicgospel.net. Well, how are we doing, my friend, financially?
Well, we're doing okay. We've had quite a number of people respond, and to you, we say thank you, a heartfelt thanks. We wanted to have $50,000 in the last 2 weeks of the month of April,
right,
and that would go a long way for us to get caught up on some things and have a little bit of money in the bank. Mm-hmm. And we still have about $25,000 to go, but we still have a week.
Yeah.
And
well, that's cut into it pretty good.
Yes, it has.
Really?
So we're halfway there. Yeah. We just need more people to step up to the plate and give. Give anything. Mm-hmm. If it's $50, if it's $25, if it's $1,000 or more, if you can give that cheerfully and joyfully, knowing that your dollars are going to help connect somebody to the good news that Jesus was raised from the dead, and give them the opportunity to respond to that message by faith or connect somebody to the love of God, then give it and give it cheerfully. God will use it.
Yes,
God will take
absolutely.
Those dollars, and he will get the message out to people all over the world. We may never know who they are,
that's right.
but God will continue to write the story of the resurrection in the hearts of people wherever they hear it. So right. let's keep getting that good news out, okay?
And you can do that. You can help by going to basicgospel.net. Just click donate, and we'd love for you to partner with us. Well, Bob, we had this call that came in off hours. Let's listen.
Hi, this is Raquel calling from San Jose, California. And I have a question regarding the word chanting. I know this so-called Christian group, and the leader is saying that Christians chant. And I have never heard that Christians chant. So can you please clarify that? Thank you.
Well, I mean, certainly we've seen different groups of Christians that would chant. That was a part of their religious experience. That's kind of been the story throughout church history. Some people would relate chanting to singing and that sort of thing. But it always gets back to this question as far as these types of practices are concerned. And it's the three-letter word, why. Why are you doing such a thing? Why are you chanting? Why are you repeating that phrase over and over and over and over? What's the purpose? What do you hope to achieve through that? And I think when we start asking the why, we can look at something and say, hey, that's meaningless, or that's something that does have meaning. So a lot of people would chant to heighten their spiritual experiences. Some will chant because they think in doing so they're going to draw closer to God. Some chant because they think they're going to look more spiritual in the eyes of others. And if those are the purposes, if those are the reasons behind the chanting, then the chanting is empty. There's no real value to it. Why? Because we're not going to be able to draw near through chanting or singing or praying or any of those sort of things. We have already been drawn near to God through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus died, and when he died, the curtain was torn from top to bottom that guarded the Holy of Holies. And what was that symbolizing? That it was symbolizing this, that access had now been made available to the throne of grace, and that anyone could draw near through faith.
Yeah.
So it is by grace, that blood of Jesus is the grace of God being poured out on mankind. That grace of God ripped open that curtain and said, go in. We go in through faith. We simply allow the finished work of Jesus Christ to usher us into the very presence of God. When we believe that good news of Jesus Christ, God sends his Spirit to take up residence in us. So now there's a union that's been formed. We are one with the Spirit.
Yeah.
So Christ in us is our hope of glory. The Spirit of God lives in us. His Spirit is in union with our human spirit. We are close. So if you're looking to chanting or fasting or some other religious ritual to try to get closer to God, you've missed the message. Do you not know? And that's what Paul would say. Do you not know that you are already one with Christ Jesus, that you're already as close as you will ever, ever get? Now, there's lots of warnings in the Word of God about vain repetition, about empty chatter and just endless arguments, empty words, those sort of things. And I think we need to pay attention to those warnings. Jesus gave a pretty good warning in the Sermon on the Mount. It says, when you're praying, do not use meaningless repetition. That's sometimes what chanting would be, just repeating a phrase over and over in a certain, form, has a rhythm to it and that sort of thing. He said, do not use meaningless repetition. Do not engage in that sort of thing as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. So lots of folks would say, chanting, if I do that and I do it rhythmically and we gather enough people together, then God is going to pay attention to us. Well, he's already paid attention to
us.
He has. The cross and resurrection is proof positive. So we have to pay attention to these things. We have to look at them with a discerning mind and recognize that the real language of the gospel is love. God spoke to us in love when he sent Jesus. He poured his love into our hearts, and we keep in step with the gospel. We express the truth of the gospel when we respond to that in faith and then love others as God in Christ has loved us.
And Raquel, we hope that you're listening and hope that's a help to you. And thank you, Bob, for those thoughts. Again, 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742, directly into the studio here at Basic Gospel. We'd love to hear from you. And Bob, from our friend Jennifer, who views the program on YouTube, she has a very important question that is important to marriages. And the question goes like this: how does one gracefully set boundaries with in-laws?
Well, that's a good question.
It is.
And I think the key word is gracefully.
Mm-hmm.
But it needs to be something that is done together as a couple, as husband and wife. So as far as a wedding is concerned, as far as how God has designed marriage, he says this, that in the beginning, he made us male and female. And because of that, a man will leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one. So just in the marriage ceremony alone, there are boundaries that are set. The husband has left his mother and father, has sort of abandoned that identity so that he could form a new entity, a new identity with his wife, and they are going to become one flesh. Also in the wedding ceremony, there is the giving away of the bride. Who is it that gives away this bride? I've asked hundreds of fathers of brides that very question, and they always say, her mother and I. That's usually the response. So there is a giving away. In other words, we had the opportunity to raise this daughter. We've cared for her. We've protected her. And now we are putting her in the care of this particular person. So within the wedding ceremony itself, those boundaries are laid out. And so you as a wife and a husband need to come together and discuss how you're going to relate to both sets of parents, and you kind of come together on that, you get on the same page, and then together you kind of lay that out. If somebody keeps trying to push in and push in and push in and be in charge, take control, wants to, direct every decision you make, I think at some point you just have to stand up and say, hey, I left so that I could cleave to my wife. Her parents gave her away. So let us be this married couple. And yes, we're going to make mistakes. That's just a part of it.
Yeah.
But allow us that freedom to do so that we can learn from our mistakes and really develop the marriage as God intended it to be developed.
Yes, indeed. Well, we appreciate hearing from Jennifer, and all of those of you, by the way, who write to us or call to pose a question. We love hearing from you here at Basic Gospel. And, you know, because of your support, Basic Gospel is on the air and online every day with this good news about Jesus and his love and grace toward you. You know, friends, that's a message that really needs to be heard everywhere. And because of your help, we've heard from people in more than 120 countries around the world. The message is getting out. A few days ago, Bob Christopher told us that we needed about $50,000 to end this month and clear our airtime and bills, other bills for this month, and he told us just a few moments ago that we've cut that by half, and we are just very grateful to all of those of you who have stepped up. We still have a way to go by this Friday, so we hope you'll step up again if possible, and if you have yet to step up, well, we encourage you to do that by going to our website, basicgospel.net. Just click donate, and let's make sure that we keep this message going out. And when you make your gift, request your CD copy of this excellent presentation called Proof, the Resurrection. It's our way of saying thanks for your faithful support. Again, just click donate at basicgospel.net. Well, Bob, we have this question from Jasmine from Sierra Madre, California, concerning 1 Peter 4:17 and 18. And she says it has her kind of anxious. If the righteous are hardly saved, what does it mean that I'm having anxiety over this?
Well, I don't know. I don't know exactly what that means, but here's what the passage says. For it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God, and if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if the righteous is scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Now, that last part of it was a quote from Proverbs 11:37. And what Peter is getting at here, and this is why it's so important to understand context, to get the big picture of any particular book in the Bible, any particular letter that's been written, because it's the big picture that is going to help us understand what each little verse means and where it fits into the big picture. Now, he's talking about trials and tribulation. So in verse 12, he says this, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you as though something strange was happening to you." So this is the immediate context. But then when you take it out further and look in chapter 3 and chapter 2 and chapter 1 and then go into chapter 5, you're going to see suffering is a recurrent theme in Peter's letter. Why? Because he was experiencing trials and tribulations for being a Christian. As a matter of fact, he was martyred for his faith. And others were experiencing those same trials and tribulations for simply being a Christian. Now, that is the judgment of the world against believers. And Paul said, if you want to enter into the kingdom of God, you're going to do so facing persecution. That's just a part of being a believer in Christ Jesus. So he's saying, don't be surprised at this. As a matter of fact, come to grips with it and be grateful for it, that you have the opportunity to suffer in this world just as Christ suffered for all of us in dying on the cross to take away our sins once and for all. So there's nothing to be anxious about as far as this is concerned. It's simply saying, if you're a believer, you live in this world, you're going to face trials and tribulations simply because you are a believer in Christ Jesus.
Indeed. And Jasmine, hope you're listening. Hope that's a help to you. I hope it allays that anxiety is a good portion.
Yes.
As a matter of fact. Well, friends, thank you. Thank you for being with us for this edition of Basic Gospel. Please remember that we have this great resource we'd like to send you as our way of saying thanks for your gift by this Friday to keep the message of grace in the Lord Jesus going forward. It's called Proof, the Resurrection. And we're going to send you a copy as you make your gift to support Basic Gospel in this Resurrection month of April. Be sure to request your copy when you click donate at basicgospel.net. But keep in mind that if you have questions concerning the Christian life, or a Bible passage you can't quite understand, or an issue you might find hard to deal with, well, give us a call at 844-322-2742 and we'll discuss it on the broadcast. Again, 844-322-2742. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.